But if you will, if you're wanting to get prepared, you can. Most of our time will be spent in Joshua chapter 6. But as we get ready to go there, I want to open with a little bit of an illustration. From a prominent pastor who shared this story, and it's something I came across. Several years ago, I was supposed to catch an early morning flight out of Morganton, North Carolina. Upon arriving at the airport, I noticed there was fog, and it was incredibly thick, and it was holding very low to the ground. Nevertheless, we boarded the flight a few minutes before it was scheduled to leave. We sat on the plane for about 30 minutes until the pilot finally shared the news that every traveler hates to hear. You can hear the intercom system now. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm sorry to inform you that we cannot make this flight because the fog is too thick. In addition, federal regulations require at least 1/4 mile visibility for the plane to depart. Again, I apologize for the inconvenience. Please deplane in an orderly fashion, and we will do our best to get you to your final destination in a timely manner, as quick as we can. Passengers began to leave the plane immediately, that is, except, and this is in first person, for me, not me, but this pastor who's sharing. I remained in my seat for several more minutes and proceeded to have my conversation with God. I reminded him that I had been away from my family and the office for almost a week. And I really needed to be getting home immediately, if not sooner. I also recall stating that the pilot and the people in the tower had access to radar and that they knew how to use it. They obviously knew how to use it. That's what they did to track the planes. With the flight attendant glancing my way, I remained steadfast in my seat until God responded by way of his still, small voice. He asked, David, do you know the pilot? After all, he could be a drug addict. He could have forged his pilot's license. In fact, you have no idea about his character or his flying ability. Still, you are willing to bet your life on his ability to fly through the fog. It was then that God reminded me about the essence of trust and how we are so quick to dismiss the God of our faith. He said, assuming all this is true, then I find it very difficult to believe that you would trust a man you do not know to take you somewhere he cannot see, when you will not trust me to take you where I can see. The pastor shares this, embarrassed and yes, enlightened, I deplaned and waited for the next flight. I will never forget taking off. As the plane arose above the clouds, it was a magnificent scene. The mountains were glistening from the sunlight and the leaves were changing. It looked like a Thomas Kincaid painting. It was then that God spoke to me. And again, he simply said, see, David, see what I see. So we're early on in a new year, and it's been a challenge for my life thus far, and this sermon, of course, as most any other sermon, hits right between the eyes. As we're in a new year for our church and for ourselves as individuals, we have an enormous challenge in front of us that we can trust God to the fullest. We're going to take some lessons here from Joshua in chapter 6. We're going to start with, there are four main things that we're going to look at that Joshua is taught throughout these verses. But it's really things that we're to be learning as well. The first is Joshua learned to trust God's promises. And if you look with me at Joshua chapter 6, verse 2, then the Lord said to Joshua, see, I have delivered Jericho into your hands, along with its kings and its fighting men. There's a promise made by God. It hasn't happened yet, but it's one of those encouragement to Joshua. God is encouraging him to be faithful, obedient, and trust in God. Trust in the promise that he's making. So we have to understand that as we trust in his promise, there are some things that give us reassurance that we're able and capable of doing that, and God wants to share those with us. And it's in the essence of God's very nature. His nature is truth. From his truth comes faithfulness. God cannot tell a lie. His nature does not allow him to. We can find some proof to go back and share about God's nature. We don't even have to go very far. If you want to turn to Joshua chapter 1, verses 2 and 3. Moses, my servant, is dead. This is a conversation between God and Joshua. Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land that I am about to give to you, to give to them, the Israelites. I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. The promise of God to Joshua is you are carrying on where Moses left off, just as I promised. Are there things in the past that we can look and see that God has promised to us? And then Joshua, next thing he had to learn to trust was God's plan. How hard is that? Sometimes we don't understand the plan. In this case, in chapter 6, Joshua is being shown and told, here is my plan, follow it. Here it is, it's laid out. If you'll read with me verses 6 through 10. So Joshua, son of Nun, called the priests and said to them, take up the Ark of the Covenant and of the Lord, have seven priests carry the trumpets in front of it. And he ordered the people, advance, march around the city with the armed guard going ahead of the Ark of the Lord. When Joshua had spoken to the people, the seven priests carrying the seven trumpets before the Lord went forward, blowing their trumpets. And the Ark of the Lord's covenant followed them. The armed guard marched ahead of the priests who blew the trumpets, and the rear guard followed the Ark. All this time the trumpets were sounding. But Joshua had commanded the people, do not give a war cry. Do not raise your voices. Do not say a word until the day I tell you to shout. And then shout. When it's time to trust and follow a plan, a plan's laid out for our obedience, the opportunity for us to be obedient to that plan. While God's plan may seem complicated, in this case extremely odd, I hope everybody finds it a little bit odd as well, but we can rest assured that his plan, he always wants best for us, his children, for Joshua and the nation of the Israelites. Just a little bit on the oddity of the plan. They're getting ready to take over a city, the city of Jericho. If anybody's ever studied that city, if there was ever a city that's classified as impenetrable, Jericho would be high on that list. The walls were as high and unscalable as anything you would come across. The gates were as thick and fortified as any gates you would ever try and knock down. So the instructions that we didn't read, but we understand because Joshua told us again what God had told him as he was then sharing with the people. They were to do nothing to the walls. Understand that? They were to march around and blow some trumpets. So they had a parade, okay, around Jericho for 7 days. As they did that parade, they were to do nothing to try and get through, go over, or through the gates to get into the city of Jericho. How are we going to get in? God promised they would. That's when our obedience gets really tested when we don't understand how how the plan will end. The second part about God's plan, it's never designed to exalt any single individual. It's never designed to exalt us. As they marched around Jericho, it was obviously very unorthodox. And in their case, they didn't have any bombs or air assaults that were going to happen anyway. They just had to faithfully follow the directions, the instructions given to them. Can you imagine if any small group would have taken it upon themselves to try and find their way into the city, even though they could then later say, God gave us the victory, but God would have worked directly through them as how it would have looked, and God wanted to make sure that every single person of that nation recognized that the only thing that knocked those walls down was God himself. And as we continue, we can see the next thing that Joshua has to trust, and that's in God's very power. In verse 10, it brings it out and highlights it to us. But Joshua had commanded the people, do not give a war cry, do not raise your voices, do not say a word until the day I tell you to shout, and then shout. You're not to go take a pickaxe to the wall, you're not to go climb or do anything to try and break the gates down. That's when you give your war cry, after the sound of the trumpet on the seventh day, after the seventh time around. God's power is without limit. Joshua was being shown this. And can we take that reminder as God is sharing with Joshua his true and limitless power? The representative to the people was the Ark of the Lord's Covenant that showed and proved God's presence within them, within the nation. And that's where his power would reside and give them their physical representation and reminder of that. The next nature about God's power is it's absolutely personal. While the battle is ultimately God's to win, he allows his followers the privilege to participate. This is when we become representative of his provision. So as we've made it thus far in the lessons Joshua is to learn, as I'm working my way through this, all of a sudden there's this whole other lesson, not just a life lesson, but an eternal life lesson. And it brought me, you can turn with me if you will, to Genesis chapter 3. To me, there's a lot of similarity that's being taught Joshua that we can then find in just this very beginning of Genesis, chapter 3, verse 15. And I will put enmity between you and the woman and between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head and you will strike his heel. Understand that right there, the fall in Eden has happened. And right there, Satan is being shown that he is the enemy and he will be defeated. The promise that was given to Joshua is that his enemy was already defeated. He just had to follow instructions that God had given him. But the enemy was already defeated. Just as we have an enemy that still makes attacks against us today, but yet that enemy is absolutely defeated. And we can find that defeat referenced in John, 1 John chapter 3, verse 8. As John shares with, he who does what is sinful is of the devil, because the devil has been sinning from the beginning. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the devil and the devil's work. The plan that Joshua is being shown carries out through everything that God has shared with us in Scripture. He wants to give us his promise. He wants to have our obedience. And through, he shares with us his nature of truth and truthfulness and faithfulness. As we follow his plan, we're given that opportunity to be obedient, and we get to see then the power of God at work. And then, as Joshua learns in verse 20, in verse 20 I had to do in King James, it brought it out a little different than some of the other versions. The King James version of verse 20 in chapter 6 So the people shouted when the priest blew the trumpets, and it came to pass when the people heard the sound of the trumpet, and the people shouted with a great shout, the wall fell down. Now this next word is where the King James Version just really wants to highlight, emphasize, and illustrate God's power. So I'm going to back up. A great shout, and then the wall fell down flat. Didn't just say fall down to where they could climb over the rubble and make their way in. It fell down flat. So that the people went up into the city, every man straight before him, and they took the city. God's provision came through in the end, and Joshua was shown what God can do. He had been learning the four lessons. But before we can come to the provision, Joshua was taught, and the lesson that we can learn is obedience has to come before provision. The people marched as they were told. They shouted only when they were encouraged or instructed to, and as a result, the wall fell down flat. Obedience is essential. The next part of God's provision, the lesson to Joshua, the lesson to us, God knows how to finish the job. He doesn't just do it halfway. He takes it all the way to his result. The use of the emphatic word flat, I just loved as I was going through this. It really draws it out. It shows you that their entry into that city was no longer an obstacle. God had taken care of it. The same part about learning the lessons with Joshua, every single one of those applies absolutely seamlessly into the plan of salvation, into the plan that God put in the very beginning, as he made known to us in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, and to the role of Christ and how he would destroy the work of the devil. And he would take away sin and give the opportunity of everlasting life. As we trust that promise, God showed us in Genesis 3, chapter 15, or chapter 3, verse 15. He then shows us the plan that's in between there and the New Testament, and it's laid out. Through that plan, we get to see and recognize the fulfillment of that plan, the obedience that was taken, and the power that God exerted. And then we come to the very provision of God. Now, it's what I'd like you to go back to with me and think back as we'd mentioned this. So as Joshua's learning about God's power, as we learn about God's power in our salvation, the second part of that we learn, it's extremely personal. So if we go now spiritually, as Joshua was hearing this as a physical war that was about to happen, we can take it spiritually that while the battle is ultimately God's to win, he allows his followers the privilege to participate. This is where we're given the opportunity. God has won and defeated the devil. Everlasting life is ours, but he calls for our obedience and participation. He could have just granted it to anyone and everyone, but he chose to do it, giving us the opportunity to participate. And as we choose that participation, we are then, through our obedience, following what he's called us to do, accepting and following the one that has defeated all the evil and given us the opportunity to everlasting life, then we can understand and come into the provision of God and have that everlasting life with him in eternity through his son, Jesus Christ, the true warrior, the one that has defeated and taken away all of our sin, defeated Satan, and given us the opportunity for that eternal life. God has promised a place for every Christian if they are willing to be faithful. The call here for this year, for this church, for each one of us individually and then collectively, how radically can we follow God and trust Him throughout this year? How can we allow ourselves to be led in and through God's very nature, through His truth? How can we be led through His power, trusting in His provision and the plan to get us there? How can we serve on His behalf? Not going around His will, but following it. The final verse that has been ringing through my ears the last week, Romans 8:28. That's right, top of the other page. And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love Him and who have been called according to His purpose. It doesn't promise that anybody that calls on God has everything work out for good, for their joy. No, it's for His purpose. He doesn't look at the next play or the next strategy. He looks to the very end at all times. And what's going to serve Him is what's going to happen. And along the way, we have the opportunity to trust in His plan and then be obedient and carry it out and glorify Him. Feel free to join us at the altar, or if you'll bow with me as we go into our pastoral prayer time. Heavenly Father, we come before You today grateful, but yet with heavy hearts. Father, we know that there are many around us that are sick, some that can't even come to join us today. But Father, there are those here that we know are going through challenging times. For the tests that will start, for the results that will be given this week, Father, we pray for them. We pray for Tammy. We pray for Tom, and we pray for Fred. But Father, as we pray for each of these, as they're the ones that are inflicted, Father, we pray for those that are going to surround them. We pray that You will guide them in giving them encouragement. And Father, comfort them when the news comes more than we can bear. Father, help us to understand Your purpose. Father, may we glorify You through each and every opportunity. Father, we're here before You, recognizing You as the Lord of our life and offering You the worship of our heart and of our mind today. Father, we pray and ask that You'll be with our missionaries, those that we support, and as well as all the others that are serving on behalf of You and sharing Your word across this world, loving others as You want them to be loved, as You're teaching us, loving others as You've loved us first. And Heavenly Father, I pray for our country as it's stood strong for many, many, many years. Father, I pray that we will go into a time of revival and turn ourselves back to You, recognizing You as the God of our nation. And without You, what we have, the freedoms, they wouldn't exist. For You're the very one that is the one that provides freedom. Father, You've freed us from our sin through the work, through the plan of salvation from Your Son Jesus. No other freedom can we have that's greater. Father, if we don't know of this freedom ourselves, Father, I pray that You'll stir within us through Your Holy Spirit, that we can know what true freedom is. Father, that we can understand who we can trust. Father, that we can recognize Your power. Father, that we can follow your plan. And Father, we can come into your provision. Father, bless us this week as we prepare to go out. May we serve on your behalf, honored that we can even come close to being used for you. Father, may we love as you love us, but to others. Help us share our trust with those around us, the trust that we have in you. Father, we want your name to be glorified each and every day, your name to be magnified, that you would receive the glory that you deserve. It's in your Son, Jesus Christ's name, we pray. Amen. If you'll stand, we'll sing our closing song. I have had a great opportunity over the last few weeks to prove I trust in God's plan. I was given opportunities put before me that I've never had in my life before. Two job opportunities, both of them seeming very, very relevant and very good. But yet I had to choose and feel confident that I made the right choice. That's a struggle. I had to trust that God would bring me to, he would take away the things that I wanted over his will, and that his will would come to be. I stand before you with that peace today. The decision was made this last week. Finally, it came to a conclusion this week. So even though that God's will was that I have a sermon ready in extremely short notice, he'd been preparing me for weeks. Every word that I shared wasn't my own, and hallelujah that it wasn't. Nobody'd want to listen anyway. But God has a plan for each and every one of our lives. We just have to trust it. He's got a plan for this church. I don't know every last detail of his plan, but I know he wants to work it out if we're going to let him. And he's let a lot of things start. We're growing in our missions. Hallelujah. But we're not done. I know that's not the end of his plan. Not to stay where we are. He's got a plan that we're going to grow and fill this community with his love. We've got drawings and plans of building a bigger church that we can make it more comfortable for others to come and join, that we can share with them the love that God has given to us. We've got to trust that it's going to work out according to his will, according to his plan. We have a great opportunity before us, but I want everybody to be watching, trusting in what God's going to do through you and through us as a congregation to impact his kingdom. If you'll bow with me as we go. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much. We thank you for your promise, Father, and we hold fast to that promise. Father, we thank you for your nature. Your nature itself is truth. If someone's truthful, they can't break their promise. We lean upon that. And Father, we get the opportunity to see your power. Father, open our eyes, our hearts and our minds to these things. And Father, as you show us these, may we absolutely not miss your provision. Father, carry us forward today and through this next week that we can be ready to observe all that you want to show us. May we trust that you'll reveal to us all of these things, that you'll show us again your promises in our own lives, as well as in Scripture. Father, that you will bear to our very lives your truth through Scripture and in our lives as well. And Father, that you'll be with us and show us your power. May we feel the power of the Holy Spirit as you call us to do your work. May we recognize that power. And Father, we hold fast through all of those to come into your provision. Father, you want to provide for us. May we trust in your provision. We love you and thank you. In your Son, Jesus' name, amen.